praise the Lord, saints. We're going to do something just a little different. Yeah, I have a word here that God gave me. It's been churning in my spirit all week, and God's dealt with me multiple times about this word. But I want to do something a little different. A couple weeks ago, I was in a conference in Texas, and I heard something just absolutely just changed my way of thinking. And it was a comedian who, during the middle of his stand-up performance, he said, "You have to understand your why. You have to understand your why." And so there was a gentleman that was in the audience who was a professor of music. And so he asked this gentleman who was a professor of music to sing a couple of the verses of Amazing Grace. And so he stood up and he sung that Amazing Grace, and he was pitch perfect. I mean, it sounded just wonderful the way that he sang that song. But then he told that gentleman, he says, "Now, I want you to think about something." He says, "I want you to pretend right now that you just been robbed and that somebody just shot you. And then I want you to sing Amazing Grace again." And brother, you know what? He sung it from the heart. And he sung it with spirit. He sung it with meaning. He sung it with his entire being. And it did something for him and for the audience. It's not until we know our why. It's not until we know why we serve him. It's not until we know and understand the reason we love him, because he first loved us. It's not until we, Sister Castro, as new parents, holding on to our son who's running a temperature of 105, and we don't know what to do other than to run water and put him in that bathtub and say, "Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name." And then we understand what our why is. We understand why we love him. It's not until you go back and you find your place at that altar, or maybe it was a place in your car where you were driving down the street and you said, "If there is a God, I need help. I need help." Maybe it was you in the hospital room and you said, "I need God. I need help." Maybe it was you staring at the bars at one of your children and you said, "God, we need help. We need help." Then you understand your why. We're going to sing that song again. I live to worship him. I live. And what I want you to do today is to understand your why. Why do you worship him? What is it in your life that was the paramount pinnacle turning point and caused you to reach out to him? And then I want you to sing this from your heart. Let's sing it.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
Yes, remember, go back memory lane.
To worship you, I live.
Yes.
To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
worship you, Lord.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you.
To worship you.
Jesus, God, you are worthy. You are worthy. I worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, worship is between you and God. Hallelujah. It's a personal thing. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul, my life. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Oh, I don't know if you can get happy about that or not, but I sure can. Hallelujah. Your rod to protect, your staff to guide, they comfort and console me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed and refreshed my head with oil. My cup, your cup, it overflows. Your cup overflows. Hallelujah. You know what the word hallelujah means? Hallelujah means to get beside yourself. It means to get crazy. That's what it means. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. Yah, we know as Jehovah, the self-existing one, the one that needs none other to exist, the I am that I am. Now, I don't know about you, but I can get crazy about that. Surely goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell forever throughout all my days in the house and in the presence of the Lord. Wow. What a gentle shepherd that we serve today. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I just feel good in the spirit this morning. Hallelujah. I feel good. I feel like God wants to speak to us today. Hallelujah. God had been dealing with me about a particular subject all week, and I don't understand really why God would liken his people as sheep. Amen. Sheep, they've been called dumb, haven't they? I can't see Jesus saying you're dumb. I really can't. There's got to be something else in the Word of God that really that we can relate to
and understand why he would use an animal such as a sheep, a lamb, to describe his people, his flock. Amen. Isaiah 53:6 says this, and all we like sheep have gone astray. Boy, can you put yourself there? I can. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. A translation goes like this. It's a different translation, but maybe it'll give you a little bit more insight. All of us were like sheep that were lost. Amen. Each of us going our own way, but the Lord made the punishment fall on him, the punishment that we all deserved. Amen. I want to talk to you just for a moment, all we like sheep. And I hope that when you leave this place this afternoon, that you'll have a different insight or picture about why Jesus would call us sheep. Okay? Hopefully, you'll have a better relationship with the shepherd. Amen. And then you'll understand the reason why we all like sheep. Ezekiel 34:11 says it like this. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. I will both search and seek them out. When I took a look at that scripture, I don't know about you, but I have an inquisitive mind. And I just want to try to figure things out, much like a puzzle. And I looked at this scripture and I thought to myself, why would Ezekiel use the word search and also use the word seek? Why would he not just use seek or use the word search? But it's not until you take and you study it out and you get a greater understanding as to why he used search and seek. Webster says this about seek, search. He says this. He says, to find something, to look for something, or otherwise seeking carefully and thoroughly. Okay? The Hebrew word says it more like this, to seek with care. He sought you out with care. He looked and found you where you were at the point of needing a shepherd, needing somebody to touch you. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's the reason why I live to worship him. Because I tried everything else and everybody else, and only he understood me in the depth of my cry. In the depth of my cry, he heard me. At 16 years old, I says, if there's a God, I need you. Hallelujah. He will search you out. Now, Webster says that seek is attempt to find something or a desire to obtain something. The Hebrew word there means more of a collecting of as a flock. Or a herd. So what I want to propose to you this morning is this. He will search you out individually, and he will seek out the flock. God is a personal God who knows where we're at right at the very time or where we need him, and he knows about this collective body too, doesn't he? He knows how to touch this collective body. He knows how to bring us all in unity. Amen? He knows how to get us personally in line, and he knows how to get the body in line also. Hallelujah. Wonderful thing that Ezekiel brought to us to let us understand and to know that God is an all-caring God. Amen. The Lord not only seeks us out singular, but he also seeks out the flock or the lost sheep.
The good shepherd will not only search out one lost lamb, put that one on his shoulder and bring it back to the fold, but also he knows how to search out the flock. Hallelujah. Those who do not know the gentle voice or the soft touch of the shepherd, he wants them to understand also. Amen? That's the reason why David could say, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see the Lord our God, who is good. How blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man that take his refuge in him." Amen. There is several examples in the Word of God where Jesus uses or depicts people as sheep. Matthew 9:36, Matthew says it like this: "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep that had no shepherd." Amen. Jesus looked upon the crowd. He looked upon those people as sheep without a shepherd. It was in Europe, a group of Turkish sheep, that one lamb took his gaze off of the ground and was looking at the horizon, that he fell over a cliff 1,500 meters high. 400 others followed him. 1,100 were saved as they all fell over that cliff. When Jesus looks at his people as sheep that has no shepherd, he's looking at us in compassion. He's looking at us in mercy. He's looking at us through the eyes of grace. He's looking at us in our situations, is what he's doing. And he's saying, "I want to be your shepherd. I know how to lead you. I can lead you beside still waters. I can put you on green pastures." I don't know about you, but I tried to drive the car myself. You'll get somewhere, all right, but it'll not be the place that you want to go. It'll not be the place that brings happiness and joy and fulfillment in your life. But let me tell you, if you will allow his staff and his rod to comfort you and to guide you, I can guarantee you, you'll come out in great pastures. You'll come out with your cup overflowing. You'll come out a happy, joyful person. Amen. But it's not until we allow him to be our shepherd. Now, let me tell you that we're going to go through characteristics of sheep, and I hope that you understand by just looking at the characteristics of a lamb or a sheep, you'll understand the reason why he really uses sheep as a simile to really describe his people. One, sheep has an inherent nature to follow and to listen. You can't drive sheep. You have to lead sheep. Sheep, they have a very sensitive hearing. They sense and hearing in high definition. Sound comes to one ear and to the other. Have you ever bought a really good set of headset or earphones, and you put them in and you can hear the music come to the right ear, to the left ear, and it's back and forth, and you can really, and then you buy a cheap set of earbuds and you put those in, and it's like, that didn't sound like that yesterday when I was listening to that song. There's something about the amplification of that music and how it goes into one ear and to the other. Sheep can pinpoint danger by sound.
It's almost like they can ping like you would ping a ship that's meters and meters in the ocean to find out where it's at. Sheep can do that, and they can sense danger. Sheep have an uncanny way of distinguishing their shepherd's voice. They know their shepherd's voice. They understand their shepherd. When they hear the shepherd, they follow. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Amen. Now, do you understand why we're sheep? Hallelujah. We should know our shepherd's voice. Hallelujah. We should know when he walks in the cool of the day, he's wanting relationship. Hallelujah. Don't go hide yourself. Have a relationship. Get to know the shepherd. Get to know his voice. Hallelujah. They follow and they heard. Amen. It's something that's not taught. It's a nature. It's a nature in sheep. Hallelujah. Sheep have great sight, but they have terrible depth perception. Sheep's eyes are set in their head in such a way that they have a different pupil that any other animal has. Sheep have a triangular pupil, which allows them a wide vision. They can almost see 360 degrees, but they can't see underneath their feet. They have a 320-degree sight, line of sight. Now, I'm going to say something, and let's just let it settle where it settles. You need a shepherd. Why? Because you can't see everything. Now, Pastor didn't tell me to say that. It's not even in my notes. We need shepherd. You also need each other. Sheep are social animals by nature. In fact, sheep will get very stressed while grazing if they don't see other sheep. Come on, I'm talking about us as sheep. You need each other. I need you. I need you. Brother Landon, I need you. There's just something about when I see my brothers and my sisters, that stress just leaves. Have you ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden you pass Pastor and it's like, there's Pastor? Or you pass Brother Landon, or you pass Brother Merchant, or Brother Terry, and you say, there's Brother Terry, there's Brother Buddy. And all of a sudden you just get a kick in your step. You could just feel like you could just walk on. You might have been having a terrible day, but you just saw your brother. You just saw the other sheep that's in the pasture. That's all it was. Now you can graze on. Hallelujah. I need you. Brother Fox, I need you. My health coach tells me, hey Mike, you need to jump on this thing that's called Marco Polo. Just another app to put on my phone. And so I jumped on this thing called Marco Polo. And I found Brother Fox. He does the Marco Polo thing too. And all of a sudden, as soon as I got on there and got signed on, there's this face that came up that was very familiar to me. And it said, hey, bro! You're on Marco Polo! Great! It's Brother Landon. And it was just like, I was sitting in my all-season room, and there's Brother Landon right there talking to me. It was awesome. I needed that. We need each other, saints. We need each other. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. For over 40 years, I went to one church. I was baptized in that church, received the gift of the Holy Ghost, met my wife in that church, raised my boys in that church, raised my grandchildren in that church, and I'm here 32 miles away from that church. I don't know. I told my wife on the way here this morning, I told her, God has a perfect plan for every one of us. I believe that. And if we're walking in His pasture and we're depending on Him, I got to believe in the Word of God that we're going to go somewhere, Brother Terry. I honestly do. I don't think there's no happenstances in God's kingdom. There's a reason and purpose for everything that we go through. And it may not be until we make it to heaven that we figure it out. But I'm telling you right here today, trust your shepherd. Trust your shepherd. He knows what you need. Hallelujah. I believe that. 6 in the herd. Ways to detect sickness in sheep. A change of behavior. A change in behavior. Sheep, they love to herd. They're social animals. But when you start seeing one start, well, we called it in the military, we called it cocoon. So when you go through winter survival training in the military, you understand or how to look for people who are being overcome by cold weather. What they do is they start drawing in themselves. They start cocooning. They don't want to be sociable. They want to cocoon. And then that's when you know that they're getting cold. That's when you know that you need to get them warm. What I want to say in the spirit today, sheep, is this. Is this when we become here, reclusive, away from the herd, you're losing something, saints. You're losing something. Let me talk to you just a little bit in the Holy Ghost. Don't ever want to get to that place. As long as it's like the Word of God, iron sharpeneth iron. Iron sharpeneth iron, so doth the countenance of a good friend. When we get together and you start talking to me about your experience and I start talking to you about my experience and where God's doing in my life, what does it do? It sharpens. It encourages us. It helps us to move forward. Hallelujah. But when we become reclusive and we draw back and we cocoon ourselves, then we get in danger. There is protection in the flock of God. Let me tell you, there is protection in the household of faith. It's when we get out on our own, this is when we're going to fall. Let me tell you, if you're in the church, stay in the church. If you're not in the church, get in the church. And I'm not talking about the little white church that's got the steeple on the front with a cross in the front. No, I'm talking about the body, the household of faith. I'm talking about those who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about those who understand the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about those who's been blood bought in the name of Jesus Christ, had their hearts purified by the power and the Spirit of God. I'm talking about those who are in relationship with the one that they love and serve. That's who I'm talking about. That's the church. Hallelujah. We're the church triumphant. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We didn't join. We were born. We got a brand new name. Hallelujah. I didn't sign my name to a church roster. I got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Amen, aren't we? Hallelujah. Brother Justin preached that last week. When we see a change in the behavior of the flock, they lose their sense to follow, they lose their sense to herd, and they become distant or become unsociable, then there's sickness there. Now, I'm going to tell you something, saints. Honestly, we need to encourage one another. I had a mother-in-law who was probably the greatest encourager I have ever seen. I was 16, 17 years old, and I thought I could do it on my own. I was one of those sick sheep. And I got out of the flock, and I would get a card all the time. She wasn't my mother-in-law at the time, of course. But I would get a card, "Hey, Mike, just thinking about you. Hey, Mike, just want to say I miss you." It wasn't saying, "Hey, Mike, you're going to hell. You better get back in church." Now, let me tell you something right there, because that is very important. Sheep, they have that canny way of hearing. That loud sound, such as shouting or barking, will cause stress in the sheep. It is gentle, soft voice that causes a sheep to be led. I don't know about you, but we're bird watchers. It's part of growing old. Amen. And we love it, don't we, honey? Oh, boy. Carla, the birds love Carla, and squirrels do, too. So we've got these soot cates out all over the yard, and we got these bird feeders and finch feeders all over the yard. Soon the hummingbird feeders will go up. And we sit back with binoculars, and we watch those little guys. It's awesome. We got this group of yellow finches that'll come around, and they go to the feeder, and we'll pull, "Honey, look at there, there's a woodpecker." And we grab the binoculars, and boy, we're looking at them. We're bird watchers. Now, we also have these turtle doves that's coming around too. And boy, they just are beautiful, and they just coo, coo. And then all of a sudden you'll hear a, "Yeah, we got those too. We'd rather hear the whoo, whoo." "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I want to sup with you. I want to eat at your house tonight. Zacchaeus, let's go eat at your place today." That's the kind of shepherd that I want to talk to you about. He's a gentleman. He doesn't come barging through your door, but he grabs a hold of your heartstrings. Listen to me. He grabs a hold of your heartstrings, and he woos you. I don't know about you, but it's not a strenuous thing to yield unto him when he loves us like he loves us. Hallelujah. Sheep, when they lose their appetite, there's a problem. When they lose their appetite, why? Because by nature, sheep are eager to eat. So is Pentecostals, I hear. You're already planning where you're going to go right after church. "I think we'll try that new restaurant." No, sheep are eager to graze. They're eager to eat. When we don't enjoy our time alone and getting into the Word of God and digging out that golden nugget, grazing a little bit, sheep chew the cud. David says, "I meditate upon thy word. I meditate upon thy word." If you take a close listen to that, or you take a look into that word meditate, it's much like I chew on thy word. I chew it.
I chew it. It's just like a sheep chewing the cud. He's getting all the sweetness out of it. It wouldn't hurt us just to take a scripture and just meditate and chew on that. We're too much in a hurry. We're just gobbling it down, and we're going to taste it later. That's how it was in the military. You ate it and taste it later. No, God wants you to meditate. He wants you to chew upon that word. He wants you to get every bit of the sweetness that you can get out of that word. When pastors coming across with the word of God or any of these ministry teams, I'm telling you, I'm writing down thoughts because there's some things I want to go back and I want to learn that. I want to chew on that a little while. I got some stuff from Brother Landon last week that I've been chewing on this week. We need to chew on the word of God. We need to have an appetite for the word of God. I don't know about you, but I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." I don't know about you, but every morning when I get up and I'm on my way to work, I say this: "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it." I love the Word of God. It's been the keeping force of my life. Hallelujah. Why does Jesus, in closing, why does Jesus use sheep as a simile for his followers? You can make sheep do something that is really contrary to nature. And that is this: sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd. Now, I know and I don't care if it's the toughest person in the entire world, and you are strong-willed and strong person, strong-hearted, you need somebody. There is a place in your heart that can only be filled by the Spirit of God. And that is it. You can fill it with whatever you want to fill it with, and you'll still wake up tomorrow lonely, despair, and without hope. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you fill it with the love of God, you'll wake up with the love of God. Everybody and everything you touch will be the love of God. You'll be shining forth in the love of God. Hallelujah. Sheep and shepherd have a unique relationship and understanding. Sheep and shepherd have a unique relationship and understanding. It's when we get to know him. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said that he was the great shepherd. But if you take a look in the book of Revelation, there was seven churches, and there was seven angels that was over that church, those churches. We have our angel standing right there in the back. That's our pastor. He is our under-shepherd. You know what he does? He's the one who watches for the wolves. He's the one who looks out for the flock. He's the one that looks and says, "No, that's not a good idea." Now, we all, like sheep, have gone astray, and sometimes we fail to listen to what the man of God says. And then later on, it's like 2020, isn't it? Hindsight's 2020. Man, I wish I'd listened to the man of God. It would have saved me a couple heartaches is what it would have done. That's our under-shepherd, okay? The Bible says the sheep have a unique relationship with their shepherd. Hallelujah. And I'll just leave that there. Sheep know their master's voice. Amen. I hope this afternoon, it's morning still, I hope this morning that you have a greater understanding that it's a privilege to be a sheep, to be a lamb. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, the man that he was, wrote 3/4 of our New Testament, and he wrote the majority of it sitting in prison. Said it like this: "This one thing I do, I forget
the things which are behind me, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. The high calling is simply this: be a sheep. Be sheep. Be sheep. That's the high calling. Before you can be called to be a minister, before you can be called to go into some foreign work, you got to be a sheep. You got to qualify to be a lamb. And let me tell you something right now, saints. There's not a one of you sitting on these church pews that do not qualify as sheep. It's a natural thing. You don't have to be taught. This isn't some sort of 12-step thing. It's already instilled in you. You're looking for someone to follow. You're looking for someone to lay your burdens on. You're looking for someone to help you release your issues, your problems into their hands. Why? It's because you were not programmed to stress. You were not programmed to have anxieties. You were not programmed to be torn up, messed up with sin. Amen. Lay it down. Lay it down. We heard it last week. If you want to understand the shepherd's voice, maybe you have been away for a minute or two. Maybe you don't understand in clarity like you used to understand. Maybe your hearing is dull and you want to have that heart-to-heart relationship like you used to have. These altars are open. Or maybe you just want to let him know that you're thankful. Oh, hallelujah, that he walks through you with you in the good times and in the bad times.